guys. I'm Tim.
I'm Bob.
I'm Spencer.
And I'm Dan.
And this is the Board Game Rundown. Today, we are going to talk about games we played, news, Kickstarters, and a spooky theme. Okay.
But first, make sure you like and subscribe and ring that bell so you get all the notifications when our videos get uploaded.
Right on. Right
Even
on.
Though the stuff yep. I'm talking about today, you have plenty of time. Plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
So
wow.
Let's get into games we played.
Games we played.
Can
I play
go
a couple
first?
Of games?
Because I haven't been here for several weeks.
This is Spencer.
You might have noticed.
Welcome yes. our new member.
So I'm not going to go over all the games I played in the last 3 weeks. I'm just going to hit a few highlights.
Okay.
So, or at least you talked about most there, of Spence. Them right. already. Mm-hmm. Because I played them with most of you guys. But I did play a game called Trip Lock. Mm-hmm. This is a...
Trip Lock looks neat.
Yeah, it's a it one does. To two player game. It's kind of like a puzzle game.
Yep.
The idea is you are a master thief and you're trying to pick a lock and to get into this... You're in this city... where all the secrets are behind this big vault, and everyone's trying to get in. So you have these tokens, like poker chips, and there are traps, which are brown, and they have one side that shows a trap, the other side just shows a gear, and you sandwich them around the actual device, which is in the middle. And you put these things on a track, and all your actions let you peek at one, flip it over. They'll move down. You can't use the one over here. You're trying to meet different goals and get different points. And in the two-player version, you're also trying to stop your opponent from getting them. And you mm-hmm. have your own little traps that you can pull on them and things like that. So there's a story mode for the single-player version, which is kind of cool. The components are nice. It kicked my ass. Mm-hmm. So
it's Chip Theory, right?
Chip Theory
games.
Yeah, I don't remember. I should have written
they,
that
they
down.
They did the Too Many Bones and whatnot.
It
I'm might pretty have sure
been,
it's
oh,
I'm
there's
pretty
poker chips
sure.
in it. Yeah, it's them. Yeah.
Yeah. that's my guess. Yeah, I think I got that game at home, too.
A few weeks ago, we played Pendulum, and I just wanted to give my take on that one.
Okay.
I actually did like it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the hype against it. The fast action stuff. And then it says in the game book that you should sit back and take a minute, because if you're rushing through the whole thing, you're going to make more mistakes. Well, it kind of forces you to sit back, because there's times where you're like, oh, all my people are stuck.
Right.
Crap.
So for that sand to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're really keeping an eye on what your opponents are doing. I can't imagine that in four player. That's right. Got to be insane.
Pendulum's a worker placement game using sand timers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We played Dice Miner.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty fun. And actually, in that vein, I've been playing Dice Legacy Online.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I haven't finished it yet, but
spoiler alert for the ending.
Well, I don't think that's the
you don't
ending.
Watch the show,
ending.
It's cool.
That's one scenario.
Yeah. But I don't think that can be translated into a board game. Really?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I think it could be. I think there are ways you could resolve things with events and
yeah,
event
one of the,
decks. And
one of the things in the game is, as you're going around using your dice to build stuff and fix stuff, randomly... some soldiers will come down and try to break your crap. And you've got to have dice ready to defend them, or you've got to figure out how to do it. So I don't know how to really...
It's an event deck. You could do it with an event deck.
Yeah, I guess you could, but it would lack that
pressure.
The pressure, yeah.
Well, you could
time pressure.
But you could reveal it and then have it resolve later, so you know it's coming and you got to do something about it.
Maybe we could use timers.
That's,
okay. Anyways, forward.
We also played Terror Blow. Terror Blow was awesome.
Terror Blow is so much fun.
Oh. And that one's also going to be crazy with four players.
Yeah.
Is it up to five?
I don't remember. But it's at least up to four.
It
and
feels
I'm,
like a five-player game to me.
I want to just see it in all its
yeah,
mayhem,
and I
want to
play.
Comp.
So the map on that one is two-sided, and on the other side, it's got these crevasses, these chasms you got to jump over, or you can land inside of them. And yeah, I want to try it. So
was that because he said crevasse?
Crevasse.
Crevices.
Sure.
I played A Study in Emerald.
Yeah,
nice. You played the first edition one, yeah.
Yes, the first edition. None of you
no,
played
nope,
it with
you
me. Yeah, it was just me. So we were at my game night, and they were on the other table.
So you played with Big Dan.
Yes.
Paul and his
Paul
wife
and
Amber.
His wife Amber, yeah. So, yeah, Study in Emerald is a game where you're trying to, either you're the loyalists, and in this case, the loyalists are the ones trying to keep the Cthulhuid monsters in charge of everything, or the I can't remember what they call them, but
the restorationists
who are trying to fight against
and put the original monsters. Like royal family, the queen, back on the
yeah,
throne.
Yeah, so you're trying to assassinate the Cthulhu monsters, and the other ones are trying to hide them. You also have different agents you're trying to get. So you can get Professor Moriarty and Sherlock Holmes, but a bunch of other ones, some of them actual historical people. And you're going around the map trying to kill each other and uncovering things. It's pretty fun. I had a good
time. It's a Martin Wallace. Yeah, no, and it has a really reprint. And yeah, I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Someone else want to go? I've got one more, but I think we're all going
to
cover that.
Okay, yeah. Dan and I got to play a crazy four-player game. Was it
five?
Was it five?
Because we used the fifth player.
Four
expansion.
And nine. Yeah, five-player game of Lords of Hellas, which is an Awakened Realms classic. And it really came down to the wire where virtually every player at the last turn could have won the game.
I was going to win on my next turn. Tim was three turns before me, and he took an action that I don't even think he knew at the time was going to negate my victory. he basically took the brown favor token.
I took a token
not
that
favor,
was
glory.
The, yeah, for he took, so he took stop the, you from usurping a
yep,
thing.
If I had taken the usurp action my next turn, I honestly wasn't even going to. I was going to push all my guys in because I wanted to see that giant fight happen anyway.
And the fact that I did that was just a side effect of me pursuing my own goal, not
it,
a
it's
counter.
It's insane that if the Minotaur had not just so happened to spawn in brown,
yeah,
I would have won the game.
Yeah.
It literally just so happened
so when
that
you,
the event that came up spawned
when you,
him in
when
brown.
When you defeat a monster in a region, you gain the glory token from that region. And if another player is holding on to that token, you take it from them. And so it just, you can take an action called usurp, which basically if your hero is in a spot, you go, this place is mine. You drop one of your own hoplites down and all the other hoplites have to vacate. So if Dan was able to still do that, which I completely arbitrarily took it away from him, he would have controlled two lands, which would have filled a victory condition to allow him to win. So it was pretty...
Yeah,
accidentally
and then,
devastating.
And then after that, Jesse took his turn and he killed a third monster and actually won with the three monster victory, which I have never seen happen.
Sure.
Tim said he's seen it a few times.
I've won with a three monster victory before. And I had two and I just couldn't get to them. Otherwise, I could have done it.
And then because I was left so weak from all the fighting going on, if Jesse hadn't been able to kill the monster that turn, Caleb would have just literally walked into my territories and won the two party, the two land victory that way. And then
really
Mike Rice was the other guy we were playing with. And he, if it had made it back to his turn, he was going to win by the three-turn monument victory condition.
Wow. So we were all going to win by one of the different victory conditions.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was a fantastic.
So like Jesse and I were the only
one.
Jesse and I were the only ones that overlapped on our victory condition, and we were neck and neck. Mm. And I had to abandon my what
Caleb
I was going
and mine's
for.
Wasn't overlap as well.
Yeah,
but the fact that we had all three out
but
was incredible.
Right, they were all in play because usually I've never seen all three
be that close,
be on the cusp.
Yeah,
right. But I had to abandon mine because I was going to try to control this monument for three rounds. I was building it up, but then the monsters kept spawning in my area and then just sitting there and just wiping out all of my units.
Murdering.
I was losing like six units every time, like a round. It was it was tough. So I had to abandon my strategy. And this is a compliment to Lords of Hellas, is that two to three turns in, I completely abandoned the original strategy I was going for and was still a viable candidate to win the game at the end.
I'm also an idiot, too, because there was at least two or three rounds where I was supposed to have my own monster going around the board killing stuff
and you weren't doing anything
and we forgot that was a mechanic because it was brand new to the fifth player expansion.
Okay.
And literally, I was just sitting there like later on in the game and I said, wait a minute. I'm supposed to have a monster as a pet right now.
Yes.
So that was totally my own stupidity for forgetting that. The whole reason I wanted to test out the new board and everything was because there was a new board, there was a new temple, there was a new monster.
If you controlled this temple called the Factory, you got this like robotic.
In Atlantis,
In Atlantis, you got this like robotic monster.
Nice.
Yeah. And there was the other thing we had is because we had Neptune.
Poseidon.
I'd said it again. We have Poseidon, and so there's ports now on the map, and that makes that basically makes the map so small because now you can go from one region to another region with a port.
It connects so much.
You know, in the original version, right? If you're all the way down on the southern part of the map, it takes forever to get up to the top. Well, now it's like two moves, maybe three. Maybe.
I'm also telling you, too, next time I play with the Poseidon 5th player expansion, I'm spawning right next to the Poseidon statue. Because none of us knew going into this. Caleb just happened to spawn there and happened to take
the trident.
He happened to take the artifact for controlling that zone. Poseidon's artifact is you just tap it, you know, that's how the artifacts work, tap it once per monument phase, and you just pick a port and half the hoplites there die.
Oh my.
Anywhere on the map. And wow. So he was just controlling the board every, it was just like, and I just so happened to be controlling Sparta at the very beginning, which they put up, so they put a port on all the main cities and all the monuments. So all the places where everyone wants to bunch up, he can just tap and kill half of everyone there.
What? Including his own guys?
I believe it is everyone there. Yeah, wow. Kills half the units.
Half your guys.
I believe so. It's pick a port and kill half of the hoplites rounded up there.
Wow.
So he would probably get to choose, so yeah, kill the enemies first and so his.
Yeah.
Right? But still.
That card is broken. Mm. It's insane how powerful. The fact that they put it on every spot on the map where people want to bunch up, why do anything else? We should just all fight over the Poseidon Monument. It's so strong.
Well, you guys
do that kill half
go
people
kill
there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't win, did he?
Well, he was one turn away from winning.
He was close.
Everyone was one turn away. The only
reason that I think he didn't win earlier is because he was going for the same land I was going for, so we were butting heads the whole game.
Yeah. Mm.
And if he had just turned left and went for green or whatever was above him, I think he would have had a much easier time.
I think so, too.
I was a much stronger opponent than I think because it was mainly Mike Rice controlling the area above Caleb, but Mike wasn't, early in the game, he wasn't trying to control the area. He was building up his monument force.
Yep.
So I think if Caleb would have pushed against him instead, he probably would have had an easier fight, but that would have left me open to also go for the land I wanted, sure. So who knows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, plus you didn't have the monster.
Again,
yes.
Again, with so many players so close, I don't feel like anybody blew it, right?
No, yeah, like definitely not. I think people played their butts off. It was a great game.
Yeah,
I do think we let Jesse fight the monsters with no one else trying to do anything for too long,
right?
Which gave him a heads up on his victory condition.
Even though I did come in and snipe,
right? That's
one.
Why. That's why I feel you came in and you were like, "Okay, I'm sniping that one out from under Jesse," because like finally Tim noticed Jesse's gonna win if we don't do it something.
And I was running. I needed to come up with my own way to try to win the game,
right?
And it's
right.
Like, okay, well, here's a cheap
two
way
birds, one stone
to right. Start to do it, right?
Small
yeah,
birds,
I'm sitting
big stones.
On the other side of the table looking at these things and. These new minis are just gorgeous. They're huge. They're
stunning.
Well, you say new, but the game's 4 years old.
Yeah,
now.
They're
I haven't
new for me
seen
and him.
Expansion.
Yeah, I've never seen Poseidon. No. So.
Yeah, but
oh my gosh, they were gorgeous.
It is a beautiful game. If area control, the weird cyberpunk Greece, you know, theme is interesting, then I would. It is a very high recommend. When we do our top 30 again this year. It's probably still going to be. It was really high up on Dan and I's list.
Lords of Hellas is still in my top 10.
And it's
for sure.
I don't remember where it landed on mine, but if it wasn't in my top 10, it was pretty dang close.
No, there are too many from Awakened Realms that are in the top 30.
Correct.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, just take all the Awakened Realms games, put them in the top 30.
even those I haven't played.
Right. So then I guess the last game then to talk about, unless you got more.
I think I was.
Do you have any?
I played some games.
You got? Oh yeah.
I play games. I didn't play very many though. Friday night, Ben and I. I picked up on her Descent.
Okay.
Played a little bit more of that. That was fun. Took a little bit longer than I wanted to wrap it up, so I was hoping to start like the next mission,
sure.
So we didn't get to do that. But we did get to do like the in-between parts, right, where we level up our character, and that's always fun. And then yesterday, Levi and I figured out the Gloomhaven online.
Oh,
and
so
we played
that
multiplayer. And that was pretty fun. Like, it took us a little while to get going. Like, at first, it just wasn't working. We're getting frustrated. It's finally like, okay, both of us just quit out of all of it. Load it back up again. Okay, let me invite you and just do that.
Yep.
And it all
works.
Unplug
it, plug it back in.
Yep.
Again.
Yeah. Turn it off, turn it on again.
Tell me what time you play that. Maybe I can
and,
get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it was fun.
I want it. I don't have the money for it right now, but if I'm going to play Gloomhaven, that's going to be the way I'm going to play it.
It's
going to
be the only way I
it
actually
is.
Can.
And just launch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, after the bugs were worked out. Yeah.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, don't have to set everything up and all
it's,
that.
Yeah, it was you know, limited. Well, no, it's full campaign now. No,
it was just
official version.
Last week
just came out.
They opened it all.
So that was fun. It was worth checking out. And then I played some Magic like late last night. Finally got to play. I usually don't get to play with four players very often in like our EDH or whatnot. But we got to play four players. And it was unfortunate because like, one dude was complaining like the whole time because he wasn't drawing very well.
I'm sorry, Bob. Okay.
I know.
I hate the game.
So we were trying to attack him as much because, you know, every time we thought, okay, yeah, hit the guy while he's down. But then it was like, oh, he drew exactly what I needed. And then he ended up winning. And I was like, man, we should have just let you scoop when you were complaining.
It's,
and he wanted
it's
to
the
scoop.
Trope. It's the complainer's going to win.
Yeah. So, yeah,
I know. I hate when I do that.
I know.
That's literally, I almost want to have a topic where we talk about that, but I don't know if there's enough to fill a video. But like, I feel terrible when we play GKR. I'm like, this is not my game. I wasn't like, whining the whole time, but I was like, this is not my game. I don't like this kind of game. We were playing it, and I was like, It's okay. And then I wound up winning, and I felt terrible. I was like, I don't deserve this victory. Like, I'm so sorry.
I don't want it. Here, you take this to the betrayal.
We should make a topic of what are our flaws.
And that happened again recently where I was playing a game where I was just like, I'm sorry, this is not a me game, and I wound up winning. And I feel bad when it happens because clearly the person who loves the game wants to win. And I'm just like, right. We could just say you won.
Save your pity for the week.
I know. It's weird to have that conversation, right? But I just feel bad about winning a game that I don't like, you know?
Trying to think of who you played that with.
What?
GKR.
Oh, that was forever ago. It was Bob and my brother. That was a long time ago.
Possibly, yeah.
Okay.
Or it was yours at a Meeple meetup.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Because I was like, man, I don't remember.
It was at your house.
Okay, that was probably mine.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Then we all played together.
Vagrant Song.
Most of us did. Not me.
Except for Dan.
Vagrant Song.
Vagrant Song. Yeah, it is. Yeah, we'll be a review for that somewhere. Dan, you might not have been in the review, but... It must be up there.
I wouldn't know where to find it. I wasn't there.
It is a co-op, one to four player, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess you can play one to four.
Hey, any co-op game, you can play solo.
There you go. but yeah, up to four players. You are all hobos that jump on this train. Whoops, it's a ghost train.
Yep.
And there are
every time.
They call the ghost haints. And so they're scenario specific. And the way that things unfold is really unique. And there's acrylic standees instead of miniatures
neat components, great art
because of the spectral feel. I'm guessing,
why
everything's clear.
Yeah, sure. And Jeff pointed out that it's also 2D, so it is applicable to the animation of the time.
Yeah.
So
no, Mini would have destroyed the look.
It wouldn't have been as thematic.
See, Jason.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we like games without minis.
Yeah. They say the mini would be stupid in this game.
Listen, Spencer might be going a little far with that.
I see what he's saying, though. It's a 2D thing, so that's clever.
Yeah.
And again, though, I also kind of agree with the spectral aspect, right? Because you can.
And I think it was easier to do implement that art style into the standee as opposed to making it a mini. Might be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, this is Cuphead style. What do you call that?
Yeah,
rubber band.
1920s
rubber hose.
Rubber band.
Yeah, so like Pumpkin Betty head. Boop style, right?
Oh, because the is that why?
Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah,
so Betty Boop style.
Betty Boop art style. It is on point, man. Perfect. It was a lot of fun and really good. So
I'm glad you guys liked it. It looked like I'm sure I would like it. It's a campaign style cooperative game with an interesting theme and artwork, so I'm sure I would like
it. And it's legit, Dan, it made me think of you because it legit has things that happen and you're like, what?
Oh yeah.
And the way some stuff goes down where you're like, well, I did not see that coming.
Cool.
Yeah.
So
now you're like difficult co-ops. It didn't feel very difficult, at least in the first scenario. I didn't really feel like we felt like we were going to have a chance to lose.
I also feel like the first scenario, too.
So did first scenario,
like
full
an
disclosure.
Introductory scenario.
Yes.
But I
you go to the next one, oh, we got this.
But I did realize that at the very end of that scenario, every single person had at least one wound.
Yeah.
And if everyone gets two wounds, we lose.
Yeah. So you were like halfway to losing.
Yeah, but we were getting willy-nilly there toward the end. We're like, whatever.
We're so close to winning.
I'll take these hits. Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways.
But anyway, so yeah, Vagrant Song.
Those games we played?
That's not out yet. Right?
No, not out yet.
But, that's
so. Yeah, talk to your game store and they can probably order it for you.
I would say do not go crazy trying to buy this on the secondary market, even though we all think it's a great game.
Right.
I would just wait a month, ask your game store to pre-order it for you and get it in that way.
Yeah.
That is.
Pay the normal price, get it at launch.
Pay the normal price. Yeah. Don't overpay. And I would say that for most games, especially if they are in print or soon to be in print.
Yep.
Because there ain't no reason you got to rush.
Yeah, there's a lot. Play one of the games off your
shelf of shame.
Shelf of shame.
While you're waiting.
Thank you.
All right, are we going to get into news then?
Yeah.
Sure, I got a couple things.
Yeah, I got a little thing.
News. Nothing mind-blowing.
Okay.
Nothing mind-blowing.
Go for it.
All right, my little thing. I'll let you guys know, we're big fans of the Grand Gamers Guild. The expansion, The Endangered, the new species, is shipping soon.
Oh, yeah.
So talk to your game store again. See if you can get a pre-order for that. It should be getting there soon. It's Endangered's a really tough co-op. It's super fun. About protecting endangered species, and they got new species coming out now.
Yep.
So,
cool.
Yep.
I don't remember if I backed that or not.
I haven't played it.
I got to look at my Kickstarter.
I played it finally.
You should have got one.
Yeah.
I finally played it a few months ago. I liked it again. I like hard co-op, so I liked it. I like the theme of, which is why I've talked about it on Kickstarter quite a bit, where you're like a realistic job.
Right.
You know?
And what this job can do to help do that thing.
I am an investigative journalist, and I'm taking my actions to try to get the news out there about this thing that's going on, or I am this, you know, and I'm
a lobbyist. Sorry. But I'm trying to get the right policies passed.
The lobbyist.
Evil dice tonight.
Yeah.
But yeah,
seriously.
Rolling dice and using the dice as like worker placement, basically.
So
that's my news.
Talking about like,
that's your news.
Well, I'll use this one
to segue into.
I will use one to segue into. But so Shadowgate. Chris Geizat, friend of the show. I feel comfortable saying that.
Yeah.
Shadowgate has been officially picked up by a publisher called Trick or Treat Studios. So they make horror movie props and things like that. But they're now getting, they want to start publishing board games. So they're still hammering out all the details, but they have officially announced that they are partnered up.
That's so awesome. We mentioned that's because exciting. Their Kickstarter failed not too long ago. We mentioned this game
technically
got pulled before
the Kickstarter. Sure. But the Kickstarter
that's what
was.
I meant. I apologize. It didn't.
A rocky launch.
The Kickstarter didn't look like it was going to fill.
Right.
But.
I apologize for my verbiage. And so we said, though, they will definitely be back. This is a passion project. And then we heard that this might be happening, and we were like, awesome.
Yeah,
that
they actually got. They were found at Gen Con, spotted at Gen Con, demoing their game.
That's awesome.
Yep. And that's
how
they.
Should have been on silent.
So if you are a game designer, there's hope, right? That is a path to victory. If you're making a game, take it to Gen Con, demo it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
people can find you there.
You never know who you're going to run into, who's going to see your game.
Yep. Real underdog story kind of thing. Like
see
a movie on.
Right. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Also, if you've watched our playthrough, if you've seen anything on it, there are some slight changes now to the game involving the ending and stuff.
Yeah.
So you'll want to do some research on how that works exactly. But
the ending was probably the weakest part of the game for most people.
I don't even think it was weakest for me. It just didn't feel as thematic as everything else was my thing.
Because the game is very thematic and then the end is kind of the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But congratulations to them. That's awesome.
Nailed it.
I've already talked to Chris, and we'll get a copy of it when it gets produced, and we'll do a review of like the published edition.
Because
we've only ever played the prototype and
you
know, filmed with the prototype and reviewed the prototype for the most part, right? Yep. Or previewed the prototype. But so it's super exciting for them, and I'm really happy for those guys because that gives us hope.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've got more news, but everybody else can have
a little thing kind of going off a game that we've covered, like what you were saying, is I saw, again, I always, when I'm researching news, one of the things I always hit up is Board Game Geek's news site because they have developer diaries and stuff on there as well.
Those are fun.
And so there is a giant developer diary for Wonderbook right now.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to see the designer, or designer diary, I would say developer diary, but if you want to see the designers and stuff, talk about this game and everything. So we've covered this on our channel. I actually think it's our most viewed video now.
It is our most viewed video now.
But Wonderbook is a campaign-style, family-friendly game involving pop-up book stuff.
Mm. It's beautiful.
We had a great time with it. We were laughing and making idiotic moves the whole time, and it was very fun. If you want to watch our stuff, watch that. But also, if you are interested from our videos or from just the sound I just said, check out the Designer Diary. Those are always interested. Like I said, I talked about the Eric Lang one recently where he was talking about – that was a video, but still, same thing. It was a vlog style of Designer Diary where he talked about Ankh and all that. I always read the Stonemaier ones.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're always interesting. I would really check that out because that's a cool game from a company of seemingly nice people.
Yeah.
So a Designer Diary is cool.
Yeah.
That's
all
my
right,
first
Spencer,
thing.
Your news?
I got a few. Now, hopefully I'm not saying stuff that we did several weeks ago.
Oh, we'll make it all.
Yeah,
don't
you know,
worry,
we shouldn't
we'll
be
make...
talking about things that we've already discussed
in the
show.
Hey, have you seen Beast, though?
Come on. That really cool.
Hey, don't talk about Bob's Kickstarter.
That's right, man. Spoilers.
No, that's
going to
be Spencer's Kickstarter.
Exactly. So you all know Risk Legacy.
Yep.
Hasbro has announced a new one.
That was my other one.
Okay.
Risk Shadow Forces.
Oh. All right.
It's cool. Also a legacy game.
It's literally the sequel,
Yes, it's just literally the sequel to it.
Do you have to play the first one? Okay.
At least from what we read so far, I doubt it.
You can play them individually.
Yeah.
You can. It's coming out in October 22, and you can pre-order it from now until November 8th.
Yeah, directly from Hasbro, right?
Yeah, directly from Hasbro. So, I mean, if you like it, it's 3 to 5 players. Go for it.
It looks really cool. The thing that really excites me about this. So first of all, I played all the way through Risk Legacy and I loved it. I don't even like Risk that much, but I loved Risk Legacy, what it did. So there was this one time. I'm just kidding. but so one thing that it does that excites me the most, and this might play super clunky, but it's been something I've wanted a game to test out, is so you play Risk, right? Normal Risk board. When you're fighting over territories, there is then a skirmish board on the side, and it's
nice.
A tactical skirmish game that you're fighting the individual fights for.
That's cool.
I've been wanting to see that for a long time because that is how you do an XCOM game. I've been saying that for a long time. That's how you do an XCOM game.
You are correct.
I just don't know if it's too clunky. So seeing a game trying this out now.
A mini game within a game.
Exactly. Is it going to be like, you know, you're
too much on the.
Depends on the players because it could absolutely grind everything.
And it depends how deep that is, right? You need it to be pretty simple. Because if you're playing this whole game, this needs to be a simple little strategy thing that takes a couple minutes.
Right.
Right. But I can't wait because you see the pictures and you see the wrist board and then you see like the squared out little boards next to it with like different terrain it looks like on and stuff. And I'm just like, oh man, I hope this works because I want an XCOM game like
this.
Now,
again, if it is straight up two player, get as detailed as you want.
Sure.
But if it's not,
right.
That's when you run into,
yeah.
Or I guess if it's team based, right?
Yeah,
so it's
right.
Like, okay, so you're going to.
And yeah, I don't
this,
know because there are different. Factions.
Yes.
So I don't know if the factions can be team
sure.
or if it's like Risk Legacy.
It's 3 to 5 players. I kind of
okay.
doubt that it's
so
going
it's
to be
so it's probably
teams.
Like Risk Legacy where you'd pick a faction and then each game you can pick a different faction and you're slowly upgrading each of the factions as you play through it.
Yep.
And that's one of the things I really enjoyed about War Room is because not only are you playing that big tactical battle, you know, war game that when you have a battle going on, you take all your units to like a battle board and then you get to pick, you know, do you want these in offensive, a defensive,
right.
do you want them to shoot, you know, at the air?
And I guess that's what
ground,
I'm saying. It's not
that's
exactly
a really
the
neat
same, but do,
dynamic.
You don't feel like that is a clunky
yeah, no.
jump.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it doesn't take that long.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So
that's the main thing exciting about this. Also, the theme is like futuristic espionage, which interests me. It's not just warfare, right?
Okay.
So that interests me too. But yeah, Risk Legacy I thought was great, and they've waited this long to make a sequel. That excites me a
hopefully
bit,
they've
too.
Hopefully they've been working on it.
I'm just saying that
let's just make one.
Yeah, because Risk Legacy did pretty good when it came out.
Oh, yeah.
But
very
Pandemic
well.
Legacy blew it out of the water, sure. But then they rushed so many sequels, probably because Pandemic was so popular. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Risk is popular, so the fact that they waited this long just has me wondering.
I mean, it could just be like a development thing. It could be timing.
I also
it could
technically
be...
don't know if Leacock did it. Not I sorry, didn't... that's the Pandemic guy. The guy who did Davio.
Yeah,
is
no,
the guy
I
who
didn't
did
check
Risk
Legacy,
right?
Developer was.
Yeah, I don't know. I assume he's the one behind it, but I actually didn't see that anywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway,
hopefully.
Yeah, that was my other news as well. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep.
All right, Spencer, you got one more?
I got two more, actually.
Two more?
Real quick. Home Alone has been picked up.
Okay.
Yep.
By Prospero Hall?
No, NECA.
That would have made sense.
I can't remember what NECA stands for.
Okay.
National Entertainment something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's going to be a 2-4 player game. You either are going to play as Kevin, as the bandits, or as Old Man Marley.
Yeah.
So he's just helping.
That's the South Bend Shovel Slayer.
Yeah, exactly. And each person.
You do nothing the whole game, and then eventually
you
give
show
one really inspirational
no,
speech.
So, no, you do. Here's what happens. Here's what happens.
And
if it's, if it's us playing. Right? Everybody at this table is playing. I'll tell you exactly what happens. We are like, everybody show up at my house 7 o'clock. We're going
to
play Home Alone. Then, let's see. Let's just say you two are the
wet
bandits. Hold on. Hold on.
Yeah.
You two are the wet bandits. I'm Kevin.
Uh-huh.
Bob hasn't shown up yet.
Right.
Because Bob went to Chipotle.
That's true.
So we play.
Yeah.
An hour and a half into the game.
Right.
It's almost over.
Right. And we're about to stop you.
We're about to stop me. You're hung me on the door.
Exactly.
You're about to get me.
Yep.
Bob rolls in with his food.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh, Bob, here's your character.
Oh, right.
Roll a die. Oh, he rolled a 6. He hits you in the face with a shovel. Roll a die again. Oh, another 6. He hits you in the face with a shovel. Hey, we just won. High five.
End of game.
That is how
that
end
was,
scene.
End scene. That was our dramatic.
That is how Home Alone would play out.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, that sounds good.
All right.
So the idea is Kevin is going to be laying
down
traps.
No, we just explained it.
No,
that was all I did. Where were you,
Spencer? Well, here's the interesting twist is some of the traps will cause his mother to come home faster.
Oh.
I don't know what's going to happen with that.
End up on the news.
Yeah.
House on fire, end up on news.
Yeah.
yeah, and actually, I wasn't able to get any information about how Old Man Marley works, so maybe
again, we just explained it.
If they don't do our idea, they are fools.
Yeah, so have one friend show up late.
Yes.
Yep. And then the last bit of news I have, King of Tokyo is getting another sequel.
Yeah.
It's King of... They haven't named it yet.
Yeah, okay. I just saw the sentence that
I'm a fan of King of Tokyo and King of New York.
Yeah.
I think for what they are, they do really
I think Tokyo is one of the best like games in like accessible to anyone territory.
Yeah, like a nice evergreen.
I haven't played New York, but I think I'd love it.
You would. If you like Tokyo, you'll like New York. It's just a little crunchier.
I like the idea of a slightly crunchier Tokyo.
Yeah, no, when I brought it over with my friends and we had their kids all play it, and they just would not stop playing it. They loved it so much.
I'm sure most of you out there have, but again, since we're on this topic of the King of series, if you have trouble getting your family to play games with you, I do think King of Tokyo is one of the best first games because it's just teaching them Yahtzee, but in a really fun game, right? And I really
Yahtzee, but fun, nice
with cards.
Yeah, because it's not just a party game; it feels like a game.
So it's supposed to come out at Essen Spiel next year, and they're also going to announce the Monster Box, which is like all of the stuff plus some extra monsters that weren't available until now. So if you like King of Tokyo, or if you're just curious and you like our explanation, go check it out.
I remember hearing, I don't quote me on this, basically pull a Spencer and take what I say with a, you know, grain of salt.
Not listening.
Yeah. I heard that there was some weird stuff going on with that to where it's not everything. It's everything that was ever officially...
That's true.
Yeah, like any official expansion, but like, so each... individual monster expansion is not part of the Monster Box. So, like, Cthulhu is not part of it because it was its own thing, so you would still have to buy... There was some weird thing going on.
And I don't remember if they're going to have the Cyber Bunny because that was, like, it only came out in first
like
edition.
A promo kind of thing?
Yeah, and then when they reprinted it, they had the Cyber Kitty. But
exactly.
Yeah.
So I have the Cyber Bunny, so I guess I got a first edition.
Yep. I don't know if that's going to be in the Monster Box not, but...
All right. Just a little bit more news then. I've got, because we're going to be getting into crowdfunding in a second, so I got two, like, crowdfunding related. Have you guys looked on GameFound at Nightmare Cathedral? It's not out yet. It's not launched yet. It's only, like, a preview thing.
No, I haven't.
It looks like a Nightmare version of, well, the cathedral itself looks like Notre Dame.
Right.
Okay.
And,
Before Rapid Fire.
Looks exactly like Notre Dame.
It looks like weird dystopian. So it says, enter a dystopian world of dream visions and experience the fabulous imagery created by iconic Polish artist and sculptor. Not going to butcher his name. But there are some crazy looking minis, and the art is really awesome looking, and the card, like on the cards and stuff.
Who's the developer?
Ooh.
Oh, you want to know the dystopian name.
But yeah. No, I'm not going to butcher. I'm not going to butcher the artist and designer's name, but it looks... beautiful. And then also, the last little bit of news is if you were a backer of Isle of Cats, the second Kickstarter, did you see anything about this?
No.
So if you haven't been like paying like real close attention and you got an email that said that your pledge was canceled, do not panic. 450, I think, people got this email. What had happened is it somehow in GameFound, and kudos on the person that runs the project, the designer of the game, he realized that there were multiple accounts that had duplicate orders. So not like you order two copies of the game, but your order was duplicated.
Okay.
And so they went through and they verified with everybody before they canceled anything, and they canceled out the duplicate orders so people didn't get charged, and things like that. So kudos.
That's nice.
Good work.
Pay attention.
Also, don't panic. And if you get an email like that, read it before you just fire off like an angry thing and be like, why did you cancel my stuff?
Right.
But anyways, good catch, right? It's nice to know that
people are paying attention.
People are vigilant.
It's good because I am not.
And thanks to Pat and Julia for that little news tip. What a scoop. So now that we can go into crowdfunding.
I'm going to interrupt really quick and say, because we haven't mentioned this yet, what do you guys think of the new set? We haven't talked about this yet, so things are not permanent, but leave in the comment section, what do you think about this angled table thing? I mean, this is probably permanent regardless of what you say. This is like our new idea here. Now, preferably, this is going to rotate eventually and have some more shelves, and you won't see this in my camera right here and stuff eventually. Yeah. So things are still changing, but we've been wanting to get this kind of corner idea so we're not having to look around each other on 2D plane for a while.
Unfortunately, it's much easier to look at Dan now.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it might be better.
We might still use a flat table when you do some overhead shots. So you'll see it once.
Well, it's a work in progress, but this is all brand new. So what do you guys think? Also, the lighting is technically slightly different. So what do you guys think? All this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
is it
too bright? It's too bright, right? I think it's too bright.
Bob has very sensitive eyeballs.
I'm sensitive to light.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. You know, I forgot to mention one other thing. There is a Harry Potter talisman game.
Oh, yeah.
From USopoly.
I mean, you could have said, there's a talisman game coming out.
Also true.
And we're like, yeah,
people
we know
might,
that already.
People might care about the Harry Potter
Yeah, yeah.
Thing.
So, talisman, yeah. We are strong proponents of talisman.
I like talisman.
It's a fun system. It is definitely not the most ingenious system ever, but if you like Harry Potter and you like just having fun, I'm sure it'll be fun.
I would say find the talisman theme game you like and
right.
You'll be fine.
And play that one. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. Okay. Crowdfunding. Kickstarters. Who's going first?
So I saw this cool one that I got right on ice yet. I like the theme, and also I think I can get Sarah to play because it's got like bag building stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And it's got hexagons, two of her favorite things. Paint the paint the roses. Okay, so it's a competitive puzzle game with a lot of trying to
paint roses.
Paint
Are you
roses.
Painting them red?
Sometimes, right?
Are they supposed to be white?
Right.
So you're one of the Queen of Hearts gardeners,
exactly.
Yes, and you're trying to guess what she wants because she's not going to be super specific, right? Although everybody has their own little personal objective they're trying to like accomplish, it's still cooperative. Mm-hmm. But I think what's neat is that every turn you have to pull out a shrubbery and then place it where you want on the map.
Only
and then,
slightly
higher. Oh, yes, but yes, big little path on the middle.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
A path.
Yeah, that's probably the main reason I wanted to talk about this game. But no, it looks neat. Like, so all the little hexes have different clubs on there or diamonds, right? Mm-hmm. So all the different suits and whatnot. And depending on what your little secret thing says, you're trying to get like ones next to each other and hopefully appease the Queen of Hearts before she says, off with your head.
Nice.
So yeah,
that could be fun.
Yeah,
looks like that one's going gangbusters too, right?
Yeah. There's gangbusters, and then there's a couple different levels, right? There's like a regular retail level, and they have a deluxe. The deluxe is only $60, and it comes with nice little like acrylic bits. And right. You know how, man? I'm telling you, a nice like bag with a little clink, 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 and it's very nice.
Yeah, especially if it's
tactile.
Like,
feel that. Nice. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I've got one. And I think this one's been up for about a week or so. So you still have plenty of time. November 19th. City of the Great Machine.
Yes.
Crowdie Games.
Yeah.
Crowdie Games.
I didn't actually assume it's Crowd.
They had actually.
But the D is capital. And there's a picture of a crow.
So we were told to talk about this one from a commenter. Mm-hmm. You probably don't know that. But we were asked to talk about this one by a commenter. So I was going to talk about it.
We can both talk about it.
Yeah, no, take
it
away and I'll fill in if you miss anything.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a 2-4 player.
Actually, it's... No, I'm just kidding.
Actually.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's a 2-4 player game that's 1v-many, mm-hmm. Although they are working on a solo mode. Ooh. And it's kind of a steampunk, Victorian age theme. The idea is people have been putting all their trust into this giant machine to run all the things of the city, and it's been great until they realize, oh... The machine's now in charge of everything, and now we want to take it down. But we can't, because the machine has all these servants and guards that are helping keep it in power. And so you're acting as a hero, the heroes are all hidden movement, and the machine is the player that's not hidden movement, trying to guess which district the heroes are going to go to and trying to block them off. Mm. The heroes are trying to get the citizens to riot. And if you get 3 riots, the heroes win the game. Otherwise, if the big there's a big project that the machine is trying to finish.
Yeah, there's a quadruple layered.
It is awesome.
Well, it's not like what you think it is. It's like a bunch of discs that spin separately, right? It's like one
sure.
of those.
Okay.
But
yeah,
I just
so
wanted to
like
say quadruple
one's,
layered.
Yeah. Yeah, one's mentioning how far along the track the development is. The other one's showing how discontent people are, and you want them to be discontent.
Well, the good guys do.
Yeah, the good guys do.
Something I did notice, that game had actually launched on Kickstarter like a month ago, and it didn't do great out the gate.
Oh, really?
And they canceled it and relaunched it again. So if it does get canceled again, stay tuned. I'm sure they'll relaunch it again.
They're clearly
I'm pretty
trying
sure
to get
it's funded, though, isn't it?
I'm actually, I didn't look. Good point.
It's funded now. So
yeah,
it says,
I mean,
yes.
It looks pretty awesome. The art's amazing.
Yeah, and that's
really
why
good.
I was super interested in it at first, too, because I was like, man,
it looks
art looks
very
super cool.
BioShock Infinite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Yep.
So $60 for the base game, which is not a bank breaker at
all. No, it's not terrible.
And the master of the city is $90 to get new heroes
Master.
And servants and things like that. You got any more?
So it plays 45 to 90 minutes. Is some more information. That's a pretty good play time. Something I really like is the good guy currency is trust.
Oh,
you're trying to gain trust with all the people. And the bad guy currency is bonds, as you're paying for everything. And it's again, this is just what most games do, right? It's double-sided to cut down
on the pieces.
But also, in the theme, it's like, well, it's two sides of the same coin. right, that's is the trust cool. and the bonds. And I was that's awesome. That's I love
and
that.
And I bet that there's going to be a limited amount of resources. Yeah, limited amount. And you're going to be like, oh, I need to turn this one around.
Let's see. Also, so you're playing as heroes, and the Great Machine Player is sending out servants. Who they have their own miniature. Those are the ones trying to cause, not riots, what's the other thing? Raids. They're trying to cause raids because they can kick out. So basically there are... famous citizens?
Yeah, famous discontent citizens.
Yeah, and they're face down, though. And as an action for the heroes, they can look and see if they're actual good guys or if they're traitors. And when they cause a riot in a city, you flip those over, and you need the number of good guys to be a certain amount.
Exceed the number of guards. Mm-hmm.
And so the bad guys can kick the heroes out of the cities to other places, and the good guys can move heroes from one city to another. And they, you know, you're trying to balance that. Right. And so that's an interesting mechanic. Cool. The board itself is moving around because they're all floating platforms.
So the different districts can move.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of different districts, basically, and you can do actions that literally pick up a district and slide it around and attach it somewhere else, so you're reshaping the city.
I like it. That's very, what is that one of the movie with the City of the Dark?
Dark City.
I love that. City of the Dark, Dark City. Dark I was City. Close.
There are also events that both players have to deal with, and everyone has asymmetric player powers. Nice. So again, this has got everything so about many. This sounds good.
It does. Right.
I will say the hidden movement thing that you mentioned, and also even the commenter said, it has hidden movement, but I would ignore it. I think it is like something. It really is. It's barely there. It's just that the person is playing a card face down, and that's saying which district they're going to go to on their next turn. Mm-hmm. And so the Great Machine Player has to kind of move their warriors around because as
people
move...
He's trying to
move,
predict what he plays.
Yeah, as you move through cities. So if I'm here and I'm going to this district, I have to move through all the other districts on the way. And for every guard in every district I'm moving through, I'm having to like pay trust for the people to hide me or something as I'm moving through there, right? So... That's the hidden movement is you're kind of pick which one you're going to, and the Great Machine has to guess where players are going and set up the guards in a certain way and rearrange things and send their servants out for raids and stuff. So
and then there's a dice where they can get
arrested. It is technically hidden movement, but it's not going to feel like any hidden movement game.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's a dice. I didn't see how this one works.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can, your guy can get captured or your...
Yeah, so as you're moving, as you're the heroes are moving through the city, you are, like I said, you're paying off the trust that you have or whatever, and then however much trust you have, if you run out or something, you roll a die and you might get arrested by the servants of the Great Machine. And then I don't know what happens when you get arrested.
No, I don't know either.
But
I looked it up.
Again, this sounds fantastic. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. Yeah, it looks great. Again, steampunk, Bioshock Infinite kind of look. Cool components. Again, the second in the trailer video, they were like, because after all, isn't it a double-sided? It's two sides of the same coin or whatever. You're a genius.
Yeah, that was cool. Dan, you got a Kickstarter?
Yeah.
You got to talk about the obvious one for you?
No, I figured you would have the information on it. I didn't write it down because I can just say the information on that one, right? I'll talk about a game called Aurora by Chris Rossetti. So this is a space type thing. Again, the main reason with this is because it is basically the whole game is you're building your own tech tree. So that's cool to me. But you're drafting cards that are planets and different stars and different DNA, bacteria and stuff. And you're building a tech tree according. So this planet can birth these types of stars and this, and you're building a tech tree to try to create intelligent life.
I love
it. And everyone is doing that, and you're drafting cards. And then there are secret objectives, too. And basically, the person who wins is either the first player to create intelligent life, the first player to complete 3 of the hidden objectives, or the first person to have 14, 14 carbon, water, oxygen, and DNA cards, right? And I just think that's an awesome theme. It's 2 to 4 players, plays in 25 minutes for $39.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and I love that idea of building. I just love tech trees, and then the fact that you're kind of building a tech tree to try to get to a certain goal before anyone else with a drafting mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Good, simple idea. I like it. So right that's on. Aurora.
I've got a Kickstarter I'll talk about real quick that I don't think is going to be on anybody's thing that I found. I wish I would have seen this earlier. So when this drops, this will have like 1 day left. Don't Go In There. Did you see this one?
I didn't.
So this is a push your luck game. The box is like a haunted house.
I did see this one.
And then it folds down, and it is a dice tower.
Yeah, it's a dice tower.
And so you've got objective cards.
Aren't the dice glow in the dark, too?
Yeah, and you're trying to get in and get rid of as many curses as you can by going deeper into the house. But you're also high risk, high reward, right?
Right.
And then you've got the dice tower where you're dropping the die down. And then depending on, like, the ghosts that come up, you know, like the die faces rolled. Anyways, it's like $25 for the retail version and $35 for the deluxe edition, which comes with like a bunch of extra cards
and things
like that. So super cheap, really unique. You know, I always kind of like it when they do something fun with the box, like if it's actually part of the game.
Yeah.
So it's way funded, very affordable. I just wanted to shine a little light on a smaller game that I thought looked like a lot of fun with some interesting mechanics. And I think the art's pretty good. You know, it's pretty cute. I actually am going to try to back this. I was like, I sent a link of it to my wife, and I'm like, can I back this? Because there's
it's only $25.
Well, I mean, $35 because I'm gonna get the nice one. But but this is a game though that I think I could play with my kids. I could also like take over the in-law. Like, it's not so heavy that I couldn't. Mm-hmm. But it looks like there's enough game to it where you can kind of game it though too, right? And and really make a good game out of it.
Sure.
But yeah, so don't go in there.
Don't go in there.
The box unfolds into a dice tower.
Don't split up.
Which I thought was pretty neat.
Let's hide the chainsaws.
Did you already go?
Yeah.
You good? You got?
Because I had, I remember this and I forgot to mention it. I know that Aurora is also November 19th.
Okay.
Same day as Great Machine. They're both 19th.
Okay, so then there's two more we got to talk about.
Yeah.
There's three more we got to talk about.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, so which one do you want to do first?
I'm going to do the Runes of Zun first, then we'll go over to GameFound.
Yep.
So we'll stay on Kickstarter. Good. Runes of Zun, year one collection, plus 6 new foil promo cards.
Nice.
So if you have watched this show or you want to go back and watch, we are fans of Runes of Zun. We have had, I can't think of his name. He works for the company. Alex?
In a way.
Has come on the show at least once, if not twice. Oh, yeah, because we talked about... Inertia. We talked about Inertia. Anyways, we really like Runes of Zun. So for like $89, you can get the deluxe 1-year collection. So you get 4 playmats, 1 for each player. You get all of the cards from that have been released over the past year, which is you get all the promo cards, you get all the little expansions, and then you get the new Kickstarter exclusive foil promo cards. So, I mean... It's like $89, but it's actually like a lot of stuff. And I mean, you could just get the year one collection for $59, which doesn't come with the playmats. You get all the cards and you get the foil cards. So there's tons of stuff. You could just spend $10 and just get the foil promo cards. If you've already done all the other Kickstarters, Dan's mom, you could just spend $10.
Trust me, she already did. You get the new foil cards. And actually, I don't know where it talks about it in there, but she said you get it's a big box now. It comes with a big box.
Oh, you can upgrade your box as an add-on.
And so then everything will fit in one box.
Yeah. Now, that is an add-on, so you spend a little bit extra money.
So that's all she's doing, right? Is she has everything else.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love it. Great. I've already. Why do I need the whole year one collection? No, spend $10. You get these nice foil cards, and then you spend a little bit more, and you get a big box all one thing.
Put it all into. Yeah.
That's doing it right.
I was making fun of my mom so much because I was like, you're getting foil cards. What is this, Pokemon? because she's never had anything like that in her life, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, foil cards for something.
I think it's awesome. I'm really happy for those guys. I am happy that Runes of Zun warrants that much attention and demand because it's already funded.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So
I was so happy with how fast it funded, too.
Yeah.
I was like, that's awesome. That's obviously all thanks to us.
Clearly.
100%.
That board game bump. Board game right down the
Moving on. Let's go over to GameFound.
Time for Tim to hurt his soul.
Yeah, so Bob, I know that you have at least played and owned Too Many Bones.
I do, yes.
And there's another gigantic...
There is.
Too Many Bones.
Gigantic.
This is a standalone expansion. They say it's the final standalone expansion.
Final, like, installment kind of thing.
And it's... A lot of money.
It is a lot of money. And I mean, like, because I have so much of it, and, like, it's unfortunate because I don't get it to the table as often as I would like.
Right.
And that's just super unfortunate because it's, you know, fancy dice. I have player mats, and you're leveling up, and, you know, cool characters and whatnot, and, like, I enjoy the, like, aesthetic. I can't get to the table.
It looks amazing.
And it weighs 80 pounds. Right. So it's like, I can't put it in the bag. It rips right through.
You can't get it onto the table. It just looks like too much for me to get into. I don't have time to play most of the games that are one-offs, let alone something this big and deep.
So
and
all new gameplay content is $220
Oh,
bucks.
My gosh.
Now, I will say that the components for this, and I played I played a scenario with you.
Yep.
The components are
amazing. The dice are amazing. The mats are great. The poker chips are really cool.
Now, the nice thing is in here, they do have all these things that will let you go back and get all...
Get the things you might have missed.
Yeah, kind
of
a la carte.
There's a lot of different characters and things. Yeah, a lot of...
But everything too many bones, if you are just going in and you want to buy it all... It is $1,100.
Oh my goodness!
They're not cheap.
That's definitely the highest one I've seen for a board game.
Yeah. Now I haven't. Now I don't own all of that stuff, obviously, because the one's not out yet. But like, I'm in pretty deep. And
Are you gonna take the
I really need to hit the table more.
Well,
so
he doesn't
need
to
later.
Take the plunge.
I don't need to take
that's
the plunge.
That's everything. Like if you don't have everything.
That's
else,
if you don't have anything.
If you don't have anything and you want everything.
So
Spencer,
you're going to take the slightly less plunge of getting the rest of it.
Spencer, just bust out that credit card,
man. I feel like you might as well though, because then eventually down the road you can sell the everything edition of Too Many Bones for a buttload.
I'd wait. See, there's a weird thing going on with the secondary market right now.
Well, I'm not saying in a month. I'm just saying eventually.
like a decade.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
But I mean, okay. I'm not going to buy it because I might back the other Kickstarter.
Yeah. I would be much more interested in doing the other Game Found one that I think you're about to talk about.
So Lords of Ragnarok.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, full disclosure.
Oh,
when they announced Lords of Ragnarok, it's like, I don't even need to look at this. I've got Lords of Hellas.
Yeah, reskin.
It's a reskin. Yeah. I like the Greek theme more than I like the Viking
theme.
Me
too.
Right? Yep. 100%.
We were on the exact same page. Neither of us even looked at it at first because it was like,
Then we're sitting around, we're playing Lords of Hellas, and we're talking to Mike, and he's like, have you seen Lords of Ragnarok? And we're like, yep. And then we start talking about it, and Dan's like, yeah, I was looking, and you've got like runes that can upgrade. There's trolls that you can hire.
I watched a full playthrough of it.
Team up with.
And it's definitely not just a reskin.
It is not a reskin. Now,
say it's a spiritual successor. It is an upgrade.
An upgrade?
What they learned from the first one.
It is definitely streamlined. Yeah. There's a couple of things simplified. There are definitely different mechanics in it. Now, again, the base idea is the exact same.
Area control, monuments.
Yeah, multiple ways of victory, building up the monuments. You know, the actions that you're taking are a similar style.
But the way you take your actions is different now.
Blood sacrifice. Oh, no.
Yes. Real life
blood sacrifices.
And hurry.
Everybody wants sunny leather, but nobody wants to sacrifice
it.
It
also says it's right. 1 to 4 players?
Yes, 1 to 4 players.
Yeah, an automata for
Lords of Hellas?
For Lords of Hellas? Yep.
Yeah, it's not even an automata as much as like an event. There's an event system.
Okay.
So there are the action tokens that you use on your player board to show. They're like X's.
Right.
If you flip them over, they've got numbers on them. So that when you play solo, there's like a whole camp, like an event sort of thing. So when you flip over an action thing, you trigger that event.
It's also campaign style.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the book that comes with it is called the campaign book.
And it's pretty neat. I played through the first.
I haven't played
thing,
any
and it.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
It's pretty neat. It's pretty tough. It's Awakened Realms.
I was actually really happy with the price too. I feel like that's not bad.
I was surprised.
It's like $220.
There's only two.
Is that right?
Yeah, there's only
for
two.
For Sundrop too.
Sundrop is usually an add-on. Okay.
Well,
so that's probably a separate like $80 add-on.
It's in euros.
That's usually,
the first one is 99 euros, which is about $115 for the core, and the second one is 169, which is $196.
Yeah.
And that one is Sundrop. It's mythic. It's got everything.
Does that and that comes with everything? It comes with the terrain and all
that's
that
what
stuff.
I said. It comes with the terrain and all that.
I was
now,
truly
maybe not,
surprised.
And you want the enhanced runes too.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know if it comes with all of the add-ons. I'd have to check, but
Because I mean, when I got Nemesis, now I went all in on Nemesis, and it was basically two games, right? Nemesis and Nemesis Lockdown.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it was like $450, I think. Yeah. For everything.
When I saw this,
I was like, that's amazing.
I
could get everything Lords of Hellas for $200 right now, I'd be the happiest person alive.
Yeah.
I think that price is incredible.
It is incredible.
Yeah. Now, I don't think there's as much extra add-on-y stuff as there was for Lords of Hellas, because you had Kronos, you had Hades, you had Atlas. You know what I mean?
Right. They're also still announcing more stuff for the game.
Yes.
And maybe we can be hopeful, maybe that they're purposely doing add-ons like that as retail stuff down the road.
Yes.
Maybe they're testing that out. I don't know.
Right. And it looks like you're going to get like the core box and then like the stretch goal box.
It's Awakened Realms, so they're often going to release things that are after the actual Game Found closes and before the Pledge Manager opens. So, yeah, like last time when we had Nemesis, I was like, oh, there's all these other things that they didn't mention. Crap.
And they also do things like if you back one game, then they all, oh, you can buy this character for the other game. Mm-hmm. And they give you cross promos.
Yeah,
oh,
we just played for the first time. I had never seen it before. When we were playing Lords of Hellas, one of the gods was an intruder.
Yeah, this was a
Nemesis.
Preview.
One of the monsters.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. It's two cards that you put together and make the god card or whatever in a sleeve. And I was just like, I've never seen that. That's awesome.
But top to bottom, these minis are all freaking fantastic.
They've figured it out.
The monuments are so cool. The way you build them, that was one of my favorite things about.
And they get stronger. Like, yeah. The more you got assembled, the better the effect.
As you are building up a monument.
I love it.
God,
so
right.
This is really tough.
I like the streamlined nature in Ragnarok to where instead of having, 20 hoplites and you're like passing them out all over the place, now you have like 5 armies, so you have one token that's they can put more work in and make it a bit bigger, and it has like a hero clicks kind of thing at the bottom. So this figure is now 6 units, right? And you're moving armies around instead of moving hoplites around. Because again, the Viking era, it's not just individual worshippers, right? Mm. It's an army of soldiers that you're commanding and moving around. Some of the things they did to streamline, they did a great job.
And I think that also like helps with the cost of the game too, right?
Because you don't need 80 little minis now. You just click.
Of course. Yeah. The boat mechanic. There's now an ocean around the board. And you all have a boat, and the boat connects any land connecting that piece of water to any other land. So your hero can just teleport across
like Game
the
of
board,
Thrones.
Basically.
You could string all your boats together and move a unit from here to here.
Nice. Like,
and so again, there's just a lot of stuff in this game that is very clearly a streamlined or slightly altered version of Lords of Hellas, and I do think it's going to feel like a different game.
I agree with that.
And if you don't own Lords of Hellas, get this game!
This is an amazing series prime opportunity.
So we were sitting next to Mike, and he was like I was curious about this because of Lords of Ragnarok. Like I think before his third turn, he's like, all right, I'm backing Lords of Ragnarok.
Right.
And he might have backed it at the table while we were sitting.
I just think that because Lords of Hellas,
let us know, Mike.
Because the expansions for Lords of Hellas are so hard to find and they're so overpriced. I think that if you don't own Lords of Hellas, with how much we talk it up, I think this is an amazing jumping in point.
Yeah.
That 200, it's not even 220, like I said. You said it was 195. That
get you everything
God,
and
the
it's
amount
undropped?
Of game you're getting there,
ton of game,
man.
That means they've really got the sun drop down.
Yeah, I
mean, yeah,
yeah. Well, the sun drop is definitely improved from Lords of Hellas. Like
yeah.
Nemesis looks better than Lords of Hellas,
and the Vanguard ones so far, from what I've seen, look even better than Nemesis.
Like, right.
Just getting better with it.
I don't think I sun dropped my Great Wall. I think I did that
I
one.
I don't
without.
Think I did either, and I can't remember if I sun dropped Vanguard. But
sure,
I spent.
too much.
Way too much on Vanguard.
Sure. Yeah. But I mean,
I might have sun dropped it. I don't know.
It's really good. I was really excited. I was relieved. I was glad I was wrong, you know, that about the reskin.
Right.
Yeah. Me too. It's nice being pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I can't get it, which is sad, but I'm glad I'm wrong because now other people can be happy.
Right. But I think that's all my crowdfunding.
I might have texted a picture of it to my brother, and he might definitely be backing it too.
There's two more things I want to mention about that game. The first one is you have 18 days from right now, so I don't know, 16, 15
days. Like two weeks.
You'll have 2 weeks.
Get your hand like
the last. The second one, I just want to mention this game funded in 4 minutes.
4 minutes, yep.
Yeah, too many bones. That too many bones thing funded in like
that
a
was like
minute.
Three pledges.
Holy crap.
And Awakened Realms doesn't do the we need, $500 to fund.
No.
Oh, we funded in 30 seconds too. They don't do that.
Yeah,
so them funding in 4 minutes is an actual we funded in 4 minutes idea.
Cool.
Yeah, no, it's going to be awesome. I'm a big fan of Awakened Realms.
Are we
Realms.
All going to have a copy? Or
I don't know. I want to. We'll see what happens.
We'll talk about it after this.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. See what happens. So I don't want to talk about it on camera.
All right. We're going to our topic.
This is a long episode.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, we had a lot of Kickstarters.
Yeah. I mean, we basically skipped a week, too.
We had a lot of Kickstarters to talk about. And we just talked about games we played last week.
It was like over an hour worth of games
we
played.
So we can be relatively brief about this, but I mean, it's such a good theme.
Yeah, Halloween's the best time of year.
So we're gonna basically talk about horror themed games. Mm. So for like our snow theme or winter theme games, if there's snow on the tile, so if there's blood on the tile, it is a horror.
If there's blood on the clock tower,
there's blood on the clock tower. So yeah, we just wanted to talk about a bunch of horror themed games that we really like. Mm-hmm. I think as a cinephile as well, I think horror themed games like horror movies are very important and maybe overlooked sometimes in the genre, because that can be some of the best games or some of the best movies, and people will dismiss because of the theme. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Vagrant Song we played today, I would say qualifies because you are on a haunted train. Now, it's not overtly scary or anything like that, but there are ghosts, and you're trying to.
And the biggest thing for me for Halloween games usually isn't so much how scary or horror themed it is. Halloween for me is an atmosphere, right? So games that create the atmosphere, like I would even say Mysterium is an amazing game for this kind of time.
It could work.
Because it's not
horror,
but
you're communing
anything
with spirits.
You
and
are, yeah. It's just that atmosphere it builds. Sure. And Mysterium is a game that I don't play very often. I haven't played in a very long time, but when I play it, I'm the kind of guy that's like, okay, let's dim the lights and let's get into this. That atmosphere, right? So that's what I go for.
Wolves or Mercia. Yeah.
Right. If we're just going to start naming games, yes, of course. I have different, like, types, I guess.
Okay, yeah, go into your types.
There are definitely types.
Go with your types.
Well, I think the biggest thing that we should talk about first for Halloween is games based on, like, the classic monsters and stuff like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like Horrified. Horrified is the base one, right?
And you know what? I dig on Prospero Hall a lot, but Horrified is legit pretty good.
Right. If you're looking for a cooperative, family weight-ish kind of thing, it kind of has the pandemic style of moving on the board, taking actions kind of thing. But Horrified is a fantastic game where you're fighting against the classic universal horror monsters, Frankenstein,
I really
Mummy.
Want the American monsters version. Yeah. We've got Mothman and Sasquatch.
I would want it if I had heard of most of them.
Oh,
you know,
Sasquatch,
Chupacabra, the Jersey
right.
Devil.
So, I've heard of a... See, never heard of that
You've
before.
Never heard of the Jersey Devil?
No, why would I? I'm from northern Indiana.
Get out of your hole!
I know.
But
you're too good for your hole.
The disappointing thing for me about the other Horrified is they can't be played...
Oh, yeah, you
can't mishmash them.
Oh, that's
weird. Because, Horrified is location specific. So, you know, Dracula's got his castle. The Creature from the Black Lagoon has, like, the lagoon or whatever.
Is the new board just America?
Well, I don't know what. I know it's its own board. Okay. And it's all, again, creature specific, right? Like, so
that's what you mean.
The creatures are going to, trying to go to specific locations, proc for different creatures.
Exactly.
Right? So I can't just bring over Bigfoot and play him
without somehow house ruling Bigfoot likes Dracula's castle.
Yeah, Bigfoot spawns in Transylvania.
Like, I almost wish they had tiles.
Uh-huh.
Or you build the map.
Right.
And then you could just overlay them, you know, because. It would be rude. But whatever. I still want to play it. You know,
Horrified is available everywhere.
It's cheap.
Pretty much everyone loves it. It's simple, and yet, like, it's not a kid's game, right? There's definitely teamwork and strategy that go into the playing and stuff, and I just think Horrified is going to be a lot of people's go-to game for Halloween.
Yeah, I think it's
not mine. It's going to be a lot of people's.
It's an easy one to go for.
I guess I'll stick with the family weight before I jump to the one I was going to jump to next and say, well, family weight's a little loose, but another one that encompasses a lot of that kind of stuff but is not themed that way is Betrayal at House on the Hill.
Yes.
Betrayal at House on the Hill is a game where you do build the map as you're going.
Yeah,
like
you're saying. Yeah, good tile laying game.
And it is a cooperative game until it isn't.
Yes.
basically, halfway through the game, one person, usually one person, is going to become a traitor, and they're going to now have their own win objective while you have your win objective. The first half of the game is basically just leveling up your character as fast as possible. Making your character as strong as possible so that when the haunt happens, you're either a very strong bad guy or you're a very strong good guy against a weak bad guy, right? Like, you want to be the strongest player in the game, which kind of causes an interesting dynamic where everyone's working together, but, like, you kind of want to keep everyone balanced too. Like, if Tim starts getting really... really up there, we're all going to be like, really hope he doesn't become the traitor, you know?
Right. And if you can spore rooms, you get the omens, that means you're more likely to get it, because usually the person who opens the omen is the one who becomes the betrayer.
Right.
Not always.
Sure. It's usually more room-specific than omen-specific, I would say. Like, it's the library procs, and then it would say, if the if this certain omen is also in play, this happens, right? But it's usually more room dependent. But anyway, definitely not a balanced game by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not supposed to be. You have to really know that you're going into this for just a dumb fun. You're gonna
This is a game you play for an experience, exactly. Not to win.
Yeah, there are going to be certain haunts where the second you set it up, you're going to say, I don't think we have a chance of winning. You know, like, and that's fine. Just play your best. Have fun. Get into the... I played a scenario once where the house was teleported to an alien planet and was slowly filling up with noxious gas, and we were all suffocating. We needed to teleport back. And then I played one the next time I played where we all turned into mice, and the haunter turned into a cat, and we had to find the pieces to a model airplane and fly it out of the house.
It was great.
What? You know, like, that's the game you're getting into, and if you enjoy that idea, Betrayal at House on the Hill is findable, it is affordable.
Yeah.
And there's a legacy version.
And there's a legacy version, but it is daunting. As someone who has played Betrayal at House on the Hill a lot, I've only played the first scenario of the legacy, and I was like, this is a lot. So I would not jump into that. Sure. You definitely get the normal one first, and then if you love it, look at the legacy version. But yeah.
Sure. I actually haven't seen the legacy version yet.
Yeah, I've played it. I honestly, that's another one that could have been on my box cover. I just love that purple with the wolf's head. Oh, man, that's a good cover.
It's a good box cover.
Okay.
I have one for the family weight.
Okay, sure.
This was not quite horror, but it kind of is. The Shadows in the Forest. Turn off the lights.
Yeah.
And it's in the dark, and you're with the kids, and you're trying to move the little lantern and catch the little guys. So it's kind of spooky. Mm-hmm. And it's great for kids. So
yeah,
just want to mention that one.
Yep, I like that one. I like that one.
So again, trying to keep in this universal monster kind of idea, I think the next one to talk about is Fury of Dracula.
So you want to? What's your classification then for that? You had like family weight games.
I wasn't doing family weight. I was doing universal classic monsters.
Okay.
So we went from Horrified to Betrayal has all of them in it.
Yeah,
it
potentially.
That's why I said there's other stuff too, but it has all of them in it. And it has that feeling.
Yep.
And then so Fury of Dracula, much heavier game than the other ones mentioned so far.
It is a fantastic hidden movement game. It is definitely one of the crunchier ones. There are more accessible versions of Fury of Dracula, or more accessible versions of this style of game that are not Fury of Dracula.
Which we might talk about later. But
but Fear of Dracula is really good. It might be out of print right now, though. So try to...
I think it'd be tricky.
I don't think they're all out of print.
Check your
local
games
stores.
Well, they're not making them
after
third or fourth
edition.
They're not printing them right now.
Okay.
So, but it's not like it's hard to find necessarily. But
right.
They're still out in the wild.
Yeah, they're in the wild.
But so it is a pretty deep hidden movement game. You got to be willing to that. One person is Dracula running around completing certain goals. Right. I haven't played it yet. I don't know what Dracula's doing. And then everyone else is trying to hunt him down, find clues, and then when they do find him, they need to stabby stab. You know.
Yeah. But I believe Dracula has to get back to his home in time. Right.
No, there's more to it than that. Because it's not hard.
This ain't
for
the Hunger.
That's like the Hunger.
This is not hard for him to get back to his castle.
Okay. Right.
There's a card that
I must be thinking about
literally will teleport him back to his, or anywhere on the map.
Nice.
But there are things that he needs to do basically survive like a certain amount of time.
But if you're a Dracula fan, I think that's probably the go-to Dracula game.
And this is definitely more in the spirit of like Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Than the Universal. But I mean, it's a Universal.
One person's
character.
Literally playing Van Helsing, aren't they?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then again, last one that's not exactly in the universe of Universal, but it is the classic Universal monster idea is, I don't know if Bob, you want to talk about the Heir of Frankenstein? I think that's
Abomination.
Abomination.
I think not only is this a fantastic Halloween game, one of the best ones, but in doing research on this topic after the obvious ones I chose, I haven't seen a single person mention it. It seems to be flying under the radar.
That is crazy.
That is true. I haven't seen anyone
so criminal.
It.
That
like,
is crazy.
Yeah,
this game is so good.
It's so good. Like you're doing worker placement.
Some of the ones I have seen mentioned are definitely, you're not a deep gamer.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Play Monopoly Halloween Edition.
Right? No, and the Heir of Frankenstein, like, you know, you're trying to complete his works and whatnot, so you're doing worker placement, and you can go to the morgue and get some, because you need body parts.
I mean, you are literally building your body on a slab, and then energizing it.
Yeah.
Right, and trying to bring it to
life. Trying to animate body pieces. Yeah, it's cool.
And at the morgue, you'll get fresher body parts than the graveyard.
You go to the graveyard, and you get mostly bones and stuff. If you go to the morgue, you get somewhat fresh, or you can go and kill somebody and get the freshest of the fresh.
Then the cops will start getting on your trail.
They do. So then you just bribe them a little bit, and you go kill somebody else. It's fine, you know?
And then, you know, sometimes this mysterious stranger shows up. Things just start happening, either good or bad.
Good or bad. It go either way.
He may help you or he may not.
Yeah, and then sometimes there's like public events where they have public hangings, and you can
bribe the guard. Yeah, so yeah, I'll take care of that body for you. No problem. You know,
hey, yeah. I won. I won my first game playing that with using mostly animal parts.
Yes, you can do that as well. Right?
I got
tiger's blood. I'm good.
Yeah, I lost my first game playing that to a tiebreaker rule. I wasn't told.
I might not have been aware there was a tiebreaker.
I was not involved in that, so I cannot be blamed for that teach.
But it's so cool because, like, you know, you have your table and you're like, oh, I build an arm, and then you have to get a bunch of flesh and stuff, and you're like, you put skin on it and flip it over, and it's literally you're putting arms on this body, and then you're putting a head on it, and you're flipping the head over, and it looks like a face.
Yeah, and you've got the legs.
Yeah, and then you got to, like, you know, charge up your jars, and you can, you know, zap it with electricity. You can make assistants that help you. You can make them donate blood, you know, and give you blood.
And
for
I will say,
so
all this
good.
Sounds extremely.
You can get ice to keep your body
yeah,
parts.
Yeah, you keep your body parts on ice so they don't deteriorate over, you know, between
all this
rounds.
Sounds extremely hilarious and thematic and everything, but I will. Say a slight caveat. This is a crunchy game.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah. It's very like, crunchy.
This was crunchy. This is not like a we're having fun. Like this is a deep game. No, I know. But it's not just that.
Yeah,
you know?
It is deep. There's a lot going on.
You need to be willing. Like if this sounds interesting, you just be willing to play a pretty crunchy worker placement game at the heart of it.
At least 60 minutes, probably more like 90. And if you're playing with somebody like Spencer, probably looking at more like 2 hours.
2 hours? Yeah, I'm not the one who took all the other Lords of Hellas. We played 2 games during that.
Yeah, ours was a longer game, and 3 people never played before.
But no,
yeah,
never played mine.
Shut up. Great. I'm glad you mentioned that.
No one asked.
It slipped my mind, and I forgot my
book. Abomination Air Force.
Like I said, it slips everyone's mind, evidently, and I'm like, this is one of the best, I think.
I used it on our Meeple for our picture on that.
It's great.
So, that was the main category. Everything else is a little more loosey-goosey. So I guess the next thing is I'll just list my 2 favorite and you guys hop in. I think that, again, atmospheric social deduction is a fantastic thing to play during Halloween. A lot of people would say Werewolf is an amazing game to play Halloween.
Sure.
Exactly. Any of the One Nights, any of the Werewolves, I, out of those, would recommend Wolves of Mercia.
It's probably one of the best.
Wolves of Mercia is an extremely cheap game that you can get, and it is just a fantastic twist on the basic horror genre or werewolf genre.
Mm-hmm.
And I would highly suggest if you like any of those games, especially the, like, it's like a one night. I mean, it's a 5-night game, but it plays kind of like what a 1-night game would play, like One Night Ultimate Werewolf. But then there's 5 nights in it, right?
Yeah, but what I really like about Wolves of Mercia is that basically you're going to go around and you're going to resolve everybody's going to resolve their actions. And then that pretty much triggers then the end.
Right.
Night.
Everyone has a day action and you just go in order. Yeah. And then everyone has a night action. And so one of the slight negatives for Wolves of Mercia is that every role is always in the game, right? So the moderator has to go through every role every night because the whole point is you don't know which roles are in
you
the game.
You just go number 1, number
exactly.
2, number 3,
So that does make it last a bit longer because like in One Night Ultimate Werewolf, you only say the roles that everyone knows are in the game. You just don't know who which is which role. So I will say, because literally the other night we brought Wolves of Mercia, and I think it was Caleb said, like, because we were talking about, do people want to do a filler before we start the heavy games?
Oh, yeah.
And someone said, we have an amazing comp for Wolves of Mercia. And I was like, Wolves of Mercia is not a filler. I mean, it's like an hour-long game especially with that many players.
Right.
We would have had a 9 or 10 player.
With teaching.
With some teaching.
Game.
Yeah, it would have been an hour.
Growl, maybe.
Maybe a little more. One of the things I do want to say about that, though, because the One Night Ultimates, one of the things that I don't care about is it's very open, right? It's like, it's very free flow. People would do it. They want say what they want, and with the Wolves of Mercia, it adds a little bit more structure to it, and it feels more like a game to me, and I enjoy that as opposed to the other
one. Yeah, it's on rails without being on rails. Like it actually makes the game move along.
Right, instead of sitting around, everybody's kind of sitting around and looking at each other, trying to read people, and like I get that. There's fun to that, but especially when Patrick like is like, I gotta be cool. You know, like, okay, it was him.
He didn't do that.
But no, I like the Wolves of Mercia because it's a little bit more of a structure.
Right. And then the other one that I, of course, have to mention because my name is Daniel Stafford is Blood on the Clock Tower. It's not out yet for physical, but if you want to get on a Discord, there's plenty of Facebook groups and Discord groups. As a matter of fact, I'm going to try to host one next Sunday because that's Halloween night. I think.
No.
Oh, man. It's close. It's next Sunday.
Is it next
Sunday? It is next Sunday. Yeah. Today's the 24th.
Man,
holy cow.
Next Sunday is Halloween. I have children.
I know, loser.
I can get in on this.
But Halloween is like 3 p.m. now, right? <That's, laughs> they keep pushing it forward.
They
more.
Actually, I saw some kids walking around in costumes yesterday.
That's how early it is.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, again, if you want atmospheric social deduction game, I don't think anything beats it.
Right.
The type of lying that's going on, the type of roles you have, even just the theme in it that someone's a demon and there's minions and you're the investigator and you're the librarian who heard something about someone else, right? And like the theming is on point here. We've talked about it enough.
And
check out one of our videos.
And Blood on the Clock Tower, unlike some other games, really lives and dies with the moderator.
Oh, right, and the story they build, right?
Yes.
Because the moderator chooses which roles are in play.
Because Werewolf, when you're playing Werewolf, you could just be like, oh, yeah, you stumble on a body. I mean, you can really ham it up if you want and make it fun. But like Blood on the Clock Tower, I really feel like for you to really get the game and really get a full
Enjoy the experience. Yeah.
You really need to craft
right.
an atmosphere and a story.
Yeah, last moderator that we had that wasn't me, right? Mm-hmm. Levi and I do it a lot, and then we had another person do it for 1 week, and they had an Excel document on their computer because they designed which roles were going to be in the game. They didn't randomize it. They chose, and they had an Excel document typed out on their computer for every interaction that could happen. So if
that was
townsfolk,
another Dan, wasn't it?
If the townsfolk nominated... I honestly can't remember his name right now, and I feel terrible. I haven't played Blood on the Clock Tower with
Daniel.
Him for a month.
I think it was Daniel.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We're both Stoic. You're right. It was Stoic, which is the other Daniel.
I just know how he games.
But
that's
a
compliment.
But
yeah.
And he, so like if a townsfolk nominated the virgin and was executed, he had a short story to tell
nice.
About why that happened in
wow.
theme. It was fantastic. If you watch our video of the player perspective where I was the investigator, that's the one that he did. And obviously it's not all in there and I don't hear every conversation because I'm not part of it. And actually one of them, he said, oh, I lost that document. And so he wasn't able to say it. But he opens with a story that you hear most of and he says things throughout the game. Like, yes, again, atmospheric.
Yeah.
That's what you're going for.
Again, moderator really makes that game for you. If you've got a good moderator, you're going to have a great time playing that. What else you got?
There's a
ton of like social deduction style
exactly.
games.
Yeah.
I prefer to just highlight the ones that we really
exactly.
like.
Exactly. We're yeah. not going to talk
yeah.
about everything.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Because
yeah. I don't really even like One Night Ultimate Werewolf that much.
I
prefer Wolves of Miller's Hollow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is the base. But honestly, Wolves of Mercia like kicked out Wolves of Miller's Hollow because...
Sure.
I mean, now that one's more casual, so it's fine. But I like it more than One Night. But anyways, please continue.
Well, really quick to mention, because you mentioned In the Darkness, In the Shadows.
Shadows in the Forest.
So
yeah.
That was, I didn't have that written down, but it always, whenever I think of that game, I think of Nyctophobia.
I still want to play Nyctophobia.
None of us have played it,
no.
But if there's one game that by looking at a picture, I'm like, man, what a Halloween game.
Yeah.
You know, like, so the point of Nyctophobia is it's one versus all, if you want to call it that, and you're playing with blindfolds on. All the good guys are playing with blindfolds on, and the bad guy builds a map. It's almost like this Lego style thing where he plugs maps together, and your hero's on the board, and your objective is somewhere, and you have to go complete your objective. But you're blindfolded, and how you do it is you're saying I'm moving three times this turn or whatever, and the person playing the killer grabs your hand, puts it on your piece, and then moves your character. So you'll say like west, north, and he moves you like this, and you're feeling around as you're moving, and you're telling your team, okay, I'm heading north, and there's trees on my left, you know, when you're describing, and all the players are trying to put the map together in their head and figure out the layout of the map and how to get to their objective. Meanwhile, on the killer's turn, he's actually moving a piece around and trying to kill you. He's trying to get to you and kill you on your turn as well. He's like a slayer. He can play a vampire. He can play a Jason Voorhees type character. And I've just never seen a game that screams Halloween more than a game where you're playing with your eyes closed as someone
right.
else is moving your hand around
right.
and you're trying to find your objective. I just think
sure.
that's crazy. But
sure.
again, we haven't played it. That's all we can say about it. If that interests you, check
it
out. It
interests me. It looks
yeah.
really cool.
Yeah.
I just need to find a copy. I mean, some easy ones that we shouldn't go into like too much depth because we've talked about them ad nauseum. Is like Nemesis, right?
Yep, of course,
absolutely.
That's on here.
Nemesis
is
a great, the theme
perfectly.
Is horror, sci-fi horror. It's
yep.
great.
It might be like my second go-to, honestly, for a Halloween game. I think
absolutely.
The atmosphere is that strong.
I know you haven't played it yet, but The Thing, Infection at Outpost 31,
that's on here as well.
Is a great hidden traitor, you know, style
actually,
of game.
Almost any hidden movement game can get into that.
I mean, Spectre Ops, Mind
okay,
Management.
Maybe not Spectre
yeah.
Ops.
So we just named, we could
yeah.
name a bunch of
mine. So with The Thing, I'm just going to hop on because it's under the same category here. I know you don't like it, but I do think Dead of Winter
is
a
fantastic
Halloween game. Not only hidden traitor, not only difficult co-op if you don't play with InTrader or if you do, but also the fact that it's winter themed, I think really gets into that. It does. I think it really gets into that.
No, but yeah, I mean, it adds to the dread and the despair and the misery.
Yeah, I just think the artwork is very good at this time of year.
It would be stupid of me to not credit Dead of Winter as being a good horror theme game just because I don't like it.
Right.
It has its audience. It is a well-made game that I don't enjoy.
Right. Dead of Winter is a zombie game.
Yep.
That's about all you need to know.
I own it.
And that's what I was going to get into too. One of my favorite one of go-tos that I like to pick when we play is Zombicide.
See, okay, a lot of people mention that, and this doesn't feel Halloween to me, but so, I guess just horror is what you're going for.
Yeah, and yeah. I guess for me, Zombicide almost doesn't feel horror as horror theme because it's almost just like...
It's more action-y.
It's more of an action game. But I would say that if you were going to play Night of the Living Dead Zombicide, yes, because that is more like that theme and that atmosphere of like you're holed up in the house and you're trying to
hold them off.
You're trying to hold them off. I mean, yes, Zombicide at its core is a horror survival game.
Yeah.
But
Black Plague is the best version.
Right.
Black Plague is the best version. Also, doesn't feel like a horror game to me. Mm-hmm. Where even like City of the Dead or Dark, Darker, Darkest or some of those might
be. Or is that Zombies game?
Yeah, Zombies.
I don't have it written here. What's the one that you really like with the like. People on the cover.
Oh,
Last Day on Earth.
Last Night on Earth.
Isn't that the one where you're going from like a house to house?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that
zombie is... Zombie pile in the middle.
That is more... To me, that feels more... Horror-ish.
Maybe you're just playing the wrong scenarios in Zombicide.
Yeah, maybe.
Or the wrong people.
Yeah.
Every time Tim plays, everyone's like...
They have so many fun characters that you can...
No, and I think for Zombicide, I think the focus is on so much other things. Mm-hmm. Like, I've got these IP-adjacent characters.
Yeah. Like, I love, like, one year we played all of the people from... Monty Python and the Quest for the Holy Grail.
Oh, yeah. Oh, when you're playing in Black Plague, Zombicide Black Plague. Yeah. And you're all playing Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah.
You know, but they're all almost, well, for us, they were the Python versions.
Yes.
But, so again, I think because when you're playing a game like that, it's so, you're focused on other things more than the zombies, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
I haven't played Zombicide for a very long time and I played it once. Yeah. So
I like it.
Yeah.
The last category I have to cover is we've already covered one game, but I felt like it was stronger in another category. But so Fury of Dracula is a hidden movement game. There are quite a few really good hidden movement games that focus on a Halloween time of year. Actually, some that accidentally are really close to focusing on Halloween. So first of all, what do you think of Last Friday?
Last Friday's on my
list. Really like Last Friday. Last Friday's a lot of fun. It is.
Right there.
It is not going to be. It's not going to be everybody's favorite. But I really enjoy it. I think that if you like slasher movies, Last Friday is a fun, campy, no pun intended, way to go. Because you are a serial killer at a campground and you're trying to kill the camp counselors.
So it was on your list. Yeah. What? So you think
But it's definitely a horror theme.
Yes. So, well, I mean, it does go back and forth with who's doing the action. But still, it really encapsulates the whole, I'm a slasher. Going after
of prices.
People.
I'm sorry. I have to say it every time. I have to say it every time. Stop saying I'm a slasher. It's an addiction. Okay.
Yeah. It does a great job of that and of running away from one if you're one of the counselors.
And there's the
way.
Tension of not knowing,
yes.
Right? Where he is. Like, I think he's close to me. Oh, I'm trying to get to this cabin. Like, if I get to the cabin, I can open it up and I'm safe.
Right.
You know, so there is the tension and the pressure. And it is a lighter theme. If you like a darker theme, The Letters from Whitechapel is definitely...
So those are obviously the next two I'm talking about, yes. If you know anything about me.
And you should, because they are really good, very thematic.
So my go-to Halloween game is probably Letters from Whitechapel.
Yeah.
Nice. I think artwork-wise is fantastic. It even has that brownish tint to it, like the fallish color. Mm-hmm. Not orange, I guess, like Halloween, but that brownish fallish color that's on a lot of things when you see artwork. You know, it's always like tan and brown. That's why Thanksgiving. You get to Thanksgiving, you get tan and brown still, right?
Well, it's the everything's dying.
Right, exactly. And then also, I believe, again, I'm not an expert on this topic at all, but I believe the Jack the Ripper murders were in like late August?
October?
Is it? Is it that, even
late
that
late? August
September?
Is not that Halloween-y, but...
No, I know, but I'm saying
like September.
It's
I thought
fall.
It was like October 11th was one
is,
of the
Was
events.
It October 11th? Okay, I thought it was late August, but it might have been late September and October. But it's just, it's fall time, so you are in the fall time. Around that as well. And then just the theme of this person murdering these people as the cops chase after him. And
so good.
And it's probably my go-to. And then Whitehall Mystery is the lower player count, simplified, streamlined version, plays in a half the time, maybe less.
And still really good.
Yeah. And I again, those are probably my go-to if I was going to... Betrayal at House on the Hill has always been my go-to because usually my Halloween nights are with my family.
Sure.
So I need a family weight game. They would probably like Horrified, but Betrayal has always been my family.
But you could play Whitehall Mysteries with them
very easily. Yeah, 10 times.
He wrapped up on September 10th when he was done.
Okay.
August 7th to September 10th.
Okay, so it was, August to September.
I think that there's a game that is not very well known called Stay Away.
Oh, yeah.
That is really fun.
That's the card game. Right.
It is a card game.
Yes,
you're drawing off of the deck.
A great one.
You've got people sitting around you. It's kind of like The Thing because someone is The Thing.
Yeah.
And similar to Growl, where you're giving cards potentially to people and you're passing cards. But this one, there's some tension because you're legit really trying to figure out if you can trust the people next to you and you can like block
you
trading
put doorways
cards.
Up.
Yeah,
like,
you can barricade yourself
the door.
In a room.
Okay.
You know,
yeah, you make people change seats.
Right.
Yes.
I haven't been able to play this.
This is a great one.
I didn't put Growl on the list because it's definitely more of a party game than anything else to me.
Yeah.
And that's not what I'm looking for on Halloween.
Sure. I would say it is a good Halloween party game because it's on theme.
Right.
But
if you're looking for party games,
it's not like it doesn't create an atmosphere of dread or
exactly. So you're
scary.
Saying that Stay Away does a better job of
yes,
that?
And okay. I think legit brings up some tension.
Okay,
now the
bit.
Artwork on the cards can be a little funny because there's like a guy running out of a bathroom and there's like all these tentacles shooting out of a toilet.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
You know, and some things like that.
Yeah, it's a little funny.
But
yeah, you can have funny Halloween. That's fine.
Yeah. No, yeah, there's definitely people out there that want to. That's not what I go for. So there weren't that many on my list.
But
right?
I think Evil High Priest would be a good Halloween game.
Okay. You're actually right. I don't think I had a single Cthulhu game on here, huh?
I would
a lot of people.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't put Cthulhu Wars on there, but I would put Arkham Horror on there or
right.
the Arkham
yeah.
Horror LCG.
Yeah, which is really popular right now.
I would put Planet Apocalypse on there because it is like hell on earth
that could work.
You're grinding and you're fighting the monsters, and I feel the horror theme is very strong in that.
Are we allowed to talk about how much we're allowed to say about our Shadowgate friends' other endeavor?
Oh, yeah. So it's a game that we played at a Protospiel.
Yeah,
so
Protospiel, which is super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it is literally trick or treat.
Yeah.
And you're going to pick a meeple. Like the way they had it designed is you pick a meeple that's
like
silk screen.
Costume. Yeah.
That's the costume. So you might have like a Captain America or a Spider-Man or a Wonder Woman or Frankenstein
or
Dracula, whatever. Mm-hmm.
I think you mean Captain United States.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you've got your costume, and the board is literally houses
like
on a block, and you're making a lap around, and you can
trying
choose
to collect how much candy.
You can choose to cross the street.
Yeah,
I didn't have a chance to play this, but I guess you're right. If you're looking for the most Halloween,
nailed it.
Did you know there is a game out there called Halloween?
Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, there's probably many games out there called Halloween.
2017, it's a 2-4 player game where you're a demon lord summoning ghosts to go around and scare people, but other demon lords are doing it. You're trying to fight each other's ghosts and things like that.
Oh, sweet.
I just thought that's pretty, Halloween. It's called Halloween.
I guess honorable mention, eventually in 2700 years when Tim and Mine's game comes out, it's going to be a great Halloween game, obviously.
It's
going
to be the best.
Yeah, it's going to be a great Halloween game.
2700 years, though.
Yeah. So that's
your
calendar.
Counting the time it's going to take to ship.
Exactly.
Yeah, plus shipping.
Write it down in pen and hand it down through the generations that eventually this game's coming out.
It is it is like Abomination. I am continuing his work.
So what about The Bloody Inn?
Oh,
yeah.
I think that's a good one.
Yeah,
I think that's a good one.
I mean, you're murdering people.
Horror. It's a horror themed game.
I like the theme behind it of the hotel thing. I think is a very Halloween idea. That is a B budget movie Halloween idea.
Yeah,
you know? And I actually think that's a great choice, Spencer. It didn't come to mind.
I will say
you did good, son.
Obviously, like Prosper Hall has done like a bunch of movie IPs. So there's like a Shining game, which we haven't played yet, which might be great. Okay. I would say Jaws does not count though, because Jaws is a 4th of July game.
Say Jaws is like less than Zombicide.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
But it's
evil zombies are more Halloween
horror. But it takes place at the 4th of July, so it's a summer.
I don't call it. Well, so is Friday the 13th because you're at summer camp.
Well, Friday the 13th could be any Friday the 13th. And what Friday the 13th game are you talking about?
He's saying
last Friday.
The point.
No, that's
is
not last Friday.
Camp.
Last Friday is last Friday. You said Friday the 13th.
Wow. There is a game called Friday the 13th, but I have no idea what it is.
Yep.
Yeah, no. But yeah, last Friday though, you're at
Wait, I've got the Friday the 13th game. That's with
summer
the cats in the set collection.
Oh yeah, I got that too.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Friday the 13th.
But it's not a Halloween game.
Nope. Not really. Black cats.
Jaws color palette would just ruin Halloween for me.
So anyways,
white
what do we miss?
Sky blue.
Tell us what we miss. Mention it below.
Oh, you're done? You're done with that?
There's a... Well, Evil Dead, we played that one.
Oh, I was going to ask if you felt that was too action-y like Zombicide, or if Evil Dead felt horror.
Yeah, I think the Resident Evil one actually feels more horror than Evil Dead. Okay. And I think
and I don't think Resident Evil felt like a Halloween game.
No, but that Dark Rituals game that we played at PETA.
Dark Maleficence or whatever.
Yeah, whatever that was. Yeah, that definitely felt
that
like...
That made me... Dark Maleficence. Some old ones. There is a game called Dark Rituals that came out in the 80s, and I love that game so much. But it's a storytelling game.
Oh, Dan wouldn't know anything about anything that came out in the
But I'll tell you a story about how much I don't know about that game.
Oh, boy, let's not. I'm trying to think of anything else. I'm looking. I know there's a ton of them, right?
Of course, there's tons. Oh, Jeff wants to say one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I forgot
when you're talking about the Shadows one, I was going to mention that, and I forgot.
I was actually going to talk about Night Cage, and I forgot. So thank you, Jeff. So Night Cage is a fantastic one.
We'll allow it.
I played it once. Dan and I played it, were just like oohing and
talk
eyeing.
Talk about atmospheric. The collector's edition or whatever comes with LED candles so that you play with only the candle light lighting.
Because the whole game is you're walking around this dark space with the candle, and only the spaces around you are lit up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you're working
and you're trying to find stuff as monsters are appearing and disappearing in the dark and stuff. And I thought about that and totally forgot to write it down. Night Cage is an amazing one. My brother still hasn't opened his copy yet. That might be a Halloween game.
Ooh, there you go. I know there's one I haven't played yet called Haka Ono, and you're like the Japanese grudge girl ghost. And so you're like the it's 1v many, and so other players are moving through the house trying to basically solve whatever is, like if you can fix whatever made her, want revenge then before she kills everybody. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So but I haven't played it yet.
That's
I've heard mixed reviews. I was curious enough. It's not very expensive that I was like, well, this, like the theme of this seems really neat to try. But anyways, I know there's a million.
Right. There's a million. So many.
And we were trying to go more like what actually conveys like spooky and creepy than just.
There's actually some I have written down here I didn't mention because I was like, that's not really Halloween. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so what are some of your favorite games to play around Halloween? I mean, it could just be for any reason. I don't care.
Yeah, right. And if you have your hands on these and you haven't played them around this time of year, give it a shot.
I love
playing Happy Salmon around Halloween.
Right.
It just feels so right.
I like the Flicking Penguin game. That's
really good one, too.
Ice Cool is a fantastic Halloween game. Yeah. That's true.
But you could play Pyramid of the Penguin or Fluke the Mummy.
Fluke the Mummy is a good one. Fluke
the Mummy.
So we have a new sister channel.
We do. It is Pokemon Rundown.
So if that interests you, we now have Board Game Rundown. That's Magic us. The Gathering Rundown.
Is Magic the Gathering Rundown is still like maybe?
Yeah, it exists, but it's definitely on its infant legs at this point. We have Miniatures Rundown, and now we have Pokemon Rundown. Look at this. We are becoming a monopoly. No,
sorry. Speaking of board games.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
This is a very difficult table to flip, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll get this angle.
Okay, ready?
It comes in sections.
Yeah, you guys both push at the same time.
It's not working.
Damn new physics.
Yeah.
But check out all our sister channels. I haven't looked at Pokemon Rundown yet, but I'm interested because I actually once I started playing Magic Arena, I stopped playing Pokemon as much on the app.
Right.
I played the app because Mallory wanted to get into the cards and stuff.
Okay. I still don't even know how Pokemon plays.
It's real. It's super easy.
Barely an inconvenience.
Gonna need you to get all the way off my back on that one. But anyways, so check out those channels. Also, check out our friends at the Board Game Mechanics. Jason and Katie have a weekly podcast. And also, Jason cranks out reviews. There's multiple reviews of all kinds of games.
Honestly, he needs to slow down.
They're pretty okay.
Yeah, they are pretty okay. They're making us look bad.
Yeah. Pump the brakes.
I don't know if you know, but remember we talked a few weeks ago about they hate you.
Yeah.
They say that Bob's okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, they never mentioned me. Is that good or bad? Did you listen?
I haven't watched the most recent one.
They addressed this on an episode.
Oh, yay.
I'm their favorite.
What?
Oh. Yes.
What?
Congratulations.
We need a recount on that. All right, can we get the auditors in here to like.
Who did you give orange slices to?
Listen, Speedway orange slices may or may not have been exchanged for that. But no, anyways, check them out. They're really good. A lot of fun. They come over on our show every once in a while. You could go back and find some episodes where we cross over.
Yep.
But it's all in good fun. So, anything else, guys?
I don't think so. Talk about all the ones in the comment section that you guys want us to talk about that we missed or that we didn't cover and blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. So thanks Pumpkinhead and Robert Silver.
And Beat Team.
And Carrot Army.
And Carrot Army.
Right. Right.
Shout out to you guys.
I am loving the comments, guys. It makes my day to read the comments, even if I don't always have answers for them. It's just the interaction and everything is awesome. So thank you for that. And for the Board Game Rundown, I've been Tim.
I've been Bob.
I've been Spencer.
I was Dan.
And we've been spooky. No.
We didn't dress up this year.
No, we didn't. We'll see you next time.
I am.
Frankenstein enters a bodybuilding competition and realizes he grossly misunderstands the objective.
Thanks for checking out the Board Game Rundown. If you like what you saw, like, comment, and subscribe to our channel. Share our videos on social media and spread the word. We publish new content weekly, including reviews, unboxing, and Let's Plays. And as always, thanks for watching.